With today's joyful feast of the baptism of the Lord, we bring the season of Christmas to a conclusion. I know that next Sunday is Feast of Santo Niño, so it seems like we extend Christmas another week. That's fine. But the liturgical calendar shows this as the last day of the Christmas season. And the Feast of the Baptism might seem like a very simple feast, marking a fairly simple event in Jesus' life, the time when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. But on this feast, some questions come up. Every year, these same questions come up. For example, why is the Feast of the Baptism the end of the Christmas season? And why was Jesus baptized at all? He certainly didn't need it. And then, what does his baptism have to do with us? What does it have to do with the sacrament of baptism that we receive? Well, to ponder this more deeply, it's important that we distinguish at least the three different ways that we use this word baptism on a day like today. In fact, there's many ways of using it. The word baptism comes from the Greek word for immersion or for washing with water. The first way we use it is when we're describing what John did, the baptism offered by the prophet John. We know that his ministry was so closely associated with this washing ritual that he came to be known as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. It became part of his name. Secondly, there's the baptism that Jesus receives from John. That's the unique event that we celebrate today. And then there's the sacrament that we practice in the church, the first sacrament that we receive. All three of them involve being immersed in or being washed by water, but they're not exactly the same. First of all, the baptism of John. His baptism was part of his ministry of preparing the way. It was a kind of preparation ritual, a repentance ritual, and the washing was symbolic. It didn't really wash sins away. It was just a sign that the person being baptized was repentant. He was turning away from sin. Why did it not work? Because ordinary water doesn't have any power to wash away sins. It doesn't have that kind of power. This is one of the limitations of water. It can cleanse us physically, but not spiritually. John himself was always very careful to point out that what he did was radically different from what Jesus would do, the one who was to come. He says it in the gospel that I just read this afternoon. He says, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So the difference between John's baptism and the sacrament of baptism is very great. They might look similar, water ritual, a washing ritual, but they are as different as water is different from fire. Okay, what changed between John's baptism and the one we receive in the sacraments? This is where Jesus being baptized comes in. He's at the center of this whole reflection. And no, he didn't need to be baptized in order to prepare the way. That made no sense at all. He doesn't have to prepare the way. He's already here. And no, he didn't have to be baptized in order to repent of his sins or be washed away from sins like everybody else who was being baptized by John. No, that doesn't make any sense either because he had no sin. He's God. So what was Jesus doing getting himself baptized? Well, he was revealing something new. He was giving ordinary water a new spiritual power. The something new is himself, Jesus himself. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, as we've been celebrating for the whole Christmas season. God with us, God who has become man. God who is not only above creation and outside creation, but now is in creation with us. He's standing in the same water with us. He inserts divine power into the water of our world. So he comes not to be made holy, not to be washed clean. He comes in order to make the water clean, in order to make the water holy, and to make the water an agent of our holiness. So Jesus, for a moment, looks, or most of the time, looks like just one more of the countless people who are coming to John to be baptized. But then what happens when he is actually baptized shows that he's not just one of those people. There's this extraordinary revelation moment. Jesus is standing in the water, he gets baptized, but then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes down on him in the form of a dove, a visible form of the Holy Spirit. And then there's this voice coming from heaven, booming from heaven, the voice of the Father, announcing who this is who's standing in the water. He's not just another person. He says, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." It's an extraordinary moment, a revelation moment of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This, by the way, is one of the reasons why this feast is considered part of the Christmas season. See, if we think of Christmas as only the celebration of Jesus' birth, well, then this event, which takes place some 30 years later, it doesn't seem to fit at all. What does it have to do with Christmas? But if we think of Christmas as something more, if we think of it as the celebration of God revealing himself in creation, God revealing himself as man, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, well, then we can see this baptism event is a Christmas epiphany event. It's a revelation event. Clearly a new beginning. Not only a new beginning, meaning the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, but also a new beginning for everyone who benefits from the gift of the Word made flesh. So this feast is, yes, the end of the Christmas season, but it also celebrates the beginning of the new life we have in baptism. So now let's reflect a little bit about this sacrament of baptism. Which is what we normally think of when we hear the word baptism. We usually think of ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, when we come to the parish and we see the babies getting water poured on their heads. That's what we usually think of. Well, Jesus came and he sanctified the water, and now we can be spiritually washed clean by water. Water with the words of the sacrament. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the three persons that revealed themselves when Jesus was baptized. So what, if you've been to a baptism recently, you can remember it's a very simple ritual. And what looks like a very simple symbolic washing ritual has been made very powerful by Jesus. We don't see it with our eyes. It still looks like a simple ritual, but we know it by faith. There's something extraordinary happening here. One way to reflect on the power at work in baptism is to reflect a little bit on the public life of Jesus. It helps us recognize the power that is at work in us. Because when we get into the dirty water of this world, we get dirty. We're defiled by what's dirty. When we sin, we become sinners. We're defiled. But when Jesus gets into the dirty water of the Jordan, he makes it holy. It's an extraordinary reversal for our sake. When we are exposed to diseases, to viruses, to bacteria, we get sick. When Jesus is exposed to sickness, he heals. When Jesus touches a leper, he's not made unclean. He makes the leper clean, a great reversal. This is the power that's at work in baptism. The best example for sure. When we die and we're buried, well, that's the end of the road, right? We stay there. At least we did until Jesus came. When Jesus comes and he dies and he's buried, he comes up out of the tomb into a new life, a new and everlasting life. That's the power at work in baptism, the power of everlasting life. The life that begins in baptism never ends, life without end. See, baptism is a washing away of sin, yes, but it's also a death to sin. It's a death to the life of sin, the burden of sin. It's being buried with Christ. But when we're buried with Christ, by the power of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we rise with Christ. The resurrection is given to us. The power of the resurrection is given to us in baptism. That's why, by the way, on Easter Sunday, we always renew the vows of our baptism. And we get sprinkled with holy water. It's a reminder of this very power that's revealed in this feast. Okay, this is the great benefit of being baptized, sacrament of baptism. It's not only water, as John used. It is the Holy Spirit and fire. We have all been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the fire of divine love, the power, the transforming power of divine love. One last thought comes to my mind from the end of this gospel today. In answer to the question, well, what does Jesus' baptism have to do with us? What does it have to do with the sacrament of baptism that we receive? Well, one connection we can say is this. When we are baptized, the same words that the Father said to His Son are said to us. The same affirmation of our being His children is said to us. What did He say to Jesus? You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. I invite you to apply these words to yourself. They're not only for Jesus. They're a revelation of what God wants for each one of us. Jesus is and always was the Son of the Father. He's eternally begotten of the Father, as we say in the Creed. He didn't start to be the Father's Son when He was baptized. There are some heresies in the early church that thought, oh, Jesus became God at His baptism. No, he was always God. He's always the Son of the Father. But we are adopted children of God. We're not eternally begotten. When do we become children of God? At our baptism. That's when we become His children, when we enter into His family. So you are a son, a daughter of God. And He is well pleased with you. He loves you. God loves you. God loves me. Don't let your sins or your temptations or your problems or your questions or your doubts get in the way of the central truth here. God loves you. God is well pleased with you because of the work of Christ. He's not pleased with sin. No. He's not pleased with the mess that we make of the world. But He is pleased with us because He has adopted us as His children. And fathers, good fathers, don't reject their children, even when they sin. Okay, so this is what we celebrate in baptism. Freedom from sin, yes. But also, we become beloved children of God, and He's well pleased with us. Something to celebrate with joy and with hope as we conclude the season of Christmas.